In our study of the Gospel of John, as we have proceeded, the crowd has followed him from to Capernaum. In the process, he has delivered to them the message of John chapter 6. He's tried to help them understand that it wasn't the feeding and they were looking for food, etc. It wasn't about that. And he tried to help them understand who he was and what he was to do. They did not appreciate that at all, and they turned away. Now, in the light of that, so in order to get the impact of the movement, if you would, just think of, if you would, going to school, which you do. And if you go to school and you start the math class, mathematics, and you start the mathematics class, and you go a couple of times, and then you don't go. Now, question, will you be able to pass the exam at the end of the course if you only went a couple of times and you never finished the course? Will you pass the test? Now, if you're a genius, that's good, but apart from that, you don't pass the test. And to say it another way, just think of going, if you would, you were cooking, and you made a recipe of 10 ingredients, and you put in four of the ingredients, and putting in four of the ingredients, and let it go with that. Are you going to come out with the cake or whatever it is you're making if you only put 4 out of 10 in the recipe? What's your expectation? Not much. If you go and you're looking to, and you go to the restaurant, and you go to the restaurant and you look at the menu, and look at the menu and you select something that looks good and that you're hungry and that you would like to eat, and then you walk out the door, to what measure did you enjoy what you ordered? You don't. If you're going to go and you get a special reward, if you go to Boston, make believe from here, and you go to Boston at a given day and a given time, and in Boston they're awaiting a great reward for a great prize for you. But what happens if you're going on your way to Boston, you decide to stop in Hartford, and you never get to Boston? You never know what the prize was. You never get it. You didn't finish it. You didn't do it. Now, with that little bit in mind, here's the crowd, John chapter 6. And in John 6, remember, they're following. And in chapter 6, verse 66, we shared together. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So here's this great crowd, disciples, followers. They followed him all the way over to Capernaum in order to have the benefits. And they went over, and the miracles were one thing, but they really weren't after, it was more than the miracles, actually. They were looking for the food, for food. They had a wonderful meal, and they wanted to come over and follow to keep getting meals. Wonderful cook, food, the best of ever, best fish and biscuits they ever had. And they're looking for that. And remember in chapter 6, verse 15. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So not only did they come miracles, but more than the miracles and the healing was the food. And in the process of that, they wanted to make him king. So they wanted a free ride. Why should I have to work? Why should I have to do anything? If you'll provide the food and everything, wow, like Moses, manna every day, Never worried about food. So you're going to have the supply, going to have a supply of everything free and good and healthy. And secondly, what do you have to? Well, we're going to be in the inside. We're going to make you king. And if we make you king, we are insiders. We're the ones that put you in office. We're the ones that have the power. We're on the inside. Boy, we're what? Free food, all the stuff, and we put you into office and made you king. So we are on the inside. The rest are on the outside, but you were on the inside. We have the privilege. We know the king. We made him king. Now, hang on to that, if you would. They're all excited about that. Understandably, that's the way the world is. And in the process, after he gave them, he knew what they were after. And he gave him a very needful explanation of who he was and what he was going to do. Except verse 53, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And he tried to help them understand what had to happen in the light of Old Testament prophecy promises, and they just didn't understand at all. In fact, they were offended, and remember in verse 60, they said this is very hard, offensive, cruel, harsh. What a thing to say to us. We have to eat your flesh and drink your blood. And they were offended by the whole thing. And therefore they were what? Well, they're going to go. And he said, the only way you're going to come is by way of the cross. I have to be the perfect substitute, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Savior. And they weren't in agreement with that. And in order to find God's life, you have to come to God. You can't come to God without coming to me. I am God. And thus, they didn't like that. That was the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus Christ is the sum and substance of all of it. God in the flesh. God. Everything is with you. That's right. And they didn't like that at all. So now, having not liking that, they all turn back. Here's a whole, how many? We have unknown. Off they go. They turn around and walk out the door, walk away, mumbling and grumbling. And that's what they did. So now, having said that, you're ready for verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now remember, they all turned away, and the only ones that are left are 12. The 12 apostles. So just think of the massive number of people. They'll go out the door, and here's 12 men. That's all. 12 of them. Mm-hmm. Now, he turns to the 12, and he says, will ye also go away? Are you going to go away also? Are you also going away? Now, you're going to lose a little bit. In the Greek language, there's a negative. That negative. And so say it another way. You are not going to go away, are you? That's a rhetorical question, and it's answered. You guys aren't going away, are you? And they weren't. They weren't. It was a statement, not will you. It doesn't say will you in the future. It says, are you going to walk out the door right now with the rest of them? That's what he asked him. And he answered it. He answered the question. You are not going to walk away, are you, to the 12? And thus he said that. Do you see the little word, go away, to go away? And that's a little verb. It has to do with going somewhere privately. So you pick up a little bit there. Here's the crowd publicly out the door. All leaving him all alone with 12. And he says to the 12, are you privately going to go? Not publicly. Are you going to just disappear quietly from us, from me? Not making a big scene about it because you've been with me for 3 years almost. So are you guys going to go out the door privately and get away. You see, that's the word. Ah. Not publicly, privately, but discreetly. Wow. Now, so having said that, then, that's what the question, he answered it. Then Simon Peter answered him, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now, where are we going to go? They all went back. And where are we? We can't go back with the word go. We can't go back. We can't go. We can't depart, go away. We can't do that. We're going to have to stay. We're in this place. There's nowhere to go. There's no one to go to. You, God, you alone are God. You alone. And thou hast the words of eternal life. Now, picking up just the flavor of it, because you want to get the mood and the movement and the power of this thing. Wow. Now, I think, John chapter 6, to whom will we go? Whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Okay, just to refresh your memory, they have sat through the whole thing with the crowd. Verse 63. Well, before, chapter 5, and in verse 47, what did he say then? They were all listening. If, verse 47, but if you believe not his writings, that's Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you don't believe Moses, how shall you believe my words that I'm giving you? You don't believe Moses. How are you going to believe me? But the disciples did believe Moses. The apostles, and by the way, this is the first time apostles is used in John. The word apostles, never up till now. And he singles them out, not disciples, apostles. And thus, they believe in Moses. They aren't going to go. You have the words of eternal life. Over to chapter 6 again. And in verse 63, we did. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. God, the Holy Spirit, quickens, gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life, and we share that together. They're pregnant, full of life, wonderfully, wonderfully full of life, the words are. There's no other book, no other words of anybody in all of the world like the words of God's word. And you remember now, what's inspired? The words are God-breathed. The words of God are breathed by God. They're God's words. And behind every word, like we shared it before in doing it, every word you take, you bring it out of the page, and you could do 1,000 books in 1,000 ways, and you know the pages, turn the page, I got it. But you can't do that with God's word. You can't do that because everything you look at, when you read the word of God, I am just looking here. I am the bread of life. Now, when am I going to exhaust those 6 words? When am I going to exhaust them? Never. Not in this life. Never in this life. I can keep reading that. And next week, I'll read it again and again. And next year and 100 years from now. And all it will do is just keep doing this. Grow and grow and grow. It's God's word. The words. Who has the words of life except you? The Lord. Now, over, if you would, to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Chapter 12, please. And in picking up our thought, in verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, they don't believe, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not, N-O-T, my words, you don't want my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not, N-O-T, spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, I speak. So all my words are from God the Father. All my words, all my works, all my words. The apostle said to him, you have the words of eternal life. You do. Who else has them? Where else are you going to go? Peter, that's true. You haven't lived in the 21st century or so. You're way back there. But man, there's a lot of writing, a lot of dignitaries, a lot of power. But is there anyone in our world, then or now, is there anyone in our world like him? No. No. There is no one like him. There is no one. Where are we going to go? There's no one like you. They're impressed. Wonderfully impressed. And so would you be if you were in front of him. The crowd didn't like it because they weren't going to let him be. They weren't going to be impressed. They pushed him away and turned their head. They said, I don't want to see men love darkness. What? Rather than light. I don't want to see the light. And they shied away from the light. That's what they did. But Peter and them, they didn't. He's the light of the world. That's right. Now, so having said that, over chapter 6, John chapter 6, thou hast the words of eternal life. And what else? Remember now our Lord said in verse 67, I know that you guys aren't going to disappear. I know that. I already know where you're going to be. Now, why did he know that? Hang on. Verse 60, thou hast the words of eternal life. Right? Who else has them? No one has them. Your friends don't have them. Your mother doesn't have them. Your father doesn't have them. The government doesn't have them. History doesn't have them. Only God has them. There is no other place in all the world, in all the religions of the world, in all the philosophies of the world, and take them with great volumes and bury yourself in them. And there's nowhere else to go, fortunately, that has the words of life. No one. Boy, it's so simple. But, we don't like it. Because it means that we are really in a condition that we don't want to recognize. We're in a state of death, and we need life. And we're pretty good. But if we recognize who he is and what he's going to do in Calvary's cross, then in me dwelleth no good thing. There is no credential in me to merit, to earn, to deserve anything of anything forever. It's all negative. I have no positive. I don't want to think like that, and none of my crowd does. We don't want to think we're that bad, that we're that desperate need. We don't want to do it, so we reject him. Now, verse 69, and what are you going to say, Peter? We believe, Peter answering, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe and are sure. That's what we do. Now, interestingly enough, it's in the perfect tense. It means we believe, and the result is we're still believing. So the Lord said, I know you believe. That's why I asked you, are you going to go away? And I said in my question, rhetorical, you are not going to go away. Why? Because you believe. That's right. And Peter answered, verse 69, I believe. We believe. We believe. We are believing. We are believing. And think of all the statements. Well, you're looking just doing that, just for the sake of doing it. Chapter 6, verse 29. 6 and 29. Listen, they listened to all this. They were right there. 6 and 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. That what? What is the work of God? That you believe on him who he hath sent. That's what the work of God is, to believe. Verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Well, we believe that too. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, which we do, may have everlasting life, and will raise him up at the last day. You're the only one that can give us. You're the only one that has eternal life. The only one. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Wonderful, God, you tell them. Verse 64. Verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not, and there are, but it doesn't say the number. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who should betray him. But Peter and the apostles, they believed. And they were sure. The word sure, S-U-R-E, is the word to know, to understand. In the perfect tense, they were believing with the result they believed. They were sure, they were knowing. Word know, to know, to know. Not like we said on Wednesday, knowing. Intuitively, you know you're alive. That's one word. But this is a different word. It means like going first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You have progressively know. You've been here this with me, and you know, you know. And thus they were sure, or were knowing, or were understanding. They were knowing, and thus, dear friends, in the process, they were knowing that which is to be known. They were knowing what they were knowing. They were actually knowing it, with the result that they kept on knowing it. What did they keep on knowing? That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that what you knew? That's what we know. That's what we know. We know that thou art the Messiah. We know that. We don't have a problem. The woman at the well knew you were the Messiah. And she didn't know anything. We know it. We've been with you. Now, in the process, to put that together a little better. Over, if you would, to Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. Picking up, if I may. You remember now, they aren't going to follow him anymore. They all turned around and went out the door, went out away from him, and the crowd was around and very big, and they disappeared. And only the 12 were there. Now, in the process, now I'm going to pick up that little thought. They didn't want to go anymore. Now, here's the 12 apostles. I'm interested in their little journey. Why would the Lord say, I know you aren't going to go away. I know you're not going to go away. All right. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Here's Peter and Andrew. Peter and Andrew. Verse 19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Straightway, immediately, they left their nets, they quit work, they stopped, right in the middle of their nets, right in the middle of what they were doing, and stopped it. That has to impress you. They stopped what they were doing. It'd be like being in the middle of cooking something, right in the middle, and you call, and you walk out the door, leaving it unfinished. Out the door. Immediately they left. So something, man, he had to have something going for him to walk out the door, to quit everything you're doing. He said, follow me. They dropped it, went out the door. Verse 20, and straightway left their nets and followed him. Now, then picking up James and John, verse 21, and what did he do to them? And they immediately, verse 22, left the ship and their father, and followed him. Now, that's what they did. They just stopped and followed him. That's an awesome thing, actually, to think about that. They just stopped and went. Now, having said that, and moving along, if I can, at time, moving about 4 or 5 months into the future from here, John 6, moving ahead, just ahead, and he's going to keep doing it. I just want you to pick up what he knew was inside of them. What did they know? Luke chapter 9. Oh, before I do that, wonderful thought. John chapter 16. No. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. While you're in Matthew, I'm trying to save you the labor of having to go find Matthew again. That's what I'm trying to do. Matthew chapter 16. This is about 4 or 5 months after what we just read in John 6. So time is going on. And Peter and them, so they come and they're following him. Verse chapter 16, verse 13, you know. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Verse 15, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" I want to know you personally. Who do you think I am? Peter, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He tagged him. But, verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So, Peter, you still don't know, do you? You still don't know. You guys are hanging in there. You're hanging in there. Do you understand? No. How much do you understand? We don't. But we know enough that you are the right one. That's what we know. So we're hanging in there. We really don't understand. We don't understand. They're all walking away because you said, "Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." Do you understand that? No. We don't have that yet. We haven't got that down. Nope, but we know this much. There's no one like you, God, and I'm not going anywhere without you, God. I don't know, but I'm going to stay in the classroom till I finish my course. I'm going to stay with you. I don't know, but I know no one else knows, and I'm never going to know unless I follow through. So I'm not going anywhere, said Peter. James and John, not anywhere. What do you know? What are you sure of? You, God, we are sure of who you are. That's what we're sure of now. And thus, and this is, remember, this is a couple of four or five months after so. Now, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, may I pick up in thought in verse 22, 9 and 22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, the Lord said, and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain, die on the cross, and rise again the third day. Verse 23, And he said to them all, anyone that was listening, disciple, apostle, anybody, he said to them all, "If any man, any one, will come after me and deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me," you gotta leave. Except I have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You're going to have to forget about you, and you're going to have to trust me with all your heart. I'm the one that's going to go and take you to the cross. I'm the one that's going to bring you to the grave. I'm the one that's going to bring you out of the grave to a resurrected life. I'm the one. There is no other one. There is no other way. And now, so having said that, you got to follow. But you got to follow through. You got to follow through. You can't just start cooking and quit. You'll never learn. You'll never experience. You'll never know. And now watch. Watch it. Do it another way to catch it. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John 8, and picking up, please, in verse 26. 8 and 26, the Gospel of John. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. I have many things to say. You guys haven't heard him yet, but I have many things to say. Verse 27. Then understood, they understood not, N-O-T, that he spake to them of the Father, They didn't. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, when I'm crucified and risen, then shall you know. Know what? That I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's right. But you don't understand that. I hear you say it, but you don't understand what you just said. And you won't know till I'm crucified and risen. So here they are, but they're committed. They're committed to the course. Because there's no way that they will discover the truth. The crowd that left would know Christ crucified and would know an empty tomb that they couldn't answer. But they had no answer. They did not understand his saving work on Calvary's cross. And they remain unsaved. They didn't know. Now, over if you would, in John. In the Gospel, verse 31. John 8 and 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed or genuinely, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Don't I have to finish the course? Absolutely. I'm going to trust him. Absolutely. But I'm going to have to keep trusting him because I don't understand. I have no way to understand the marvel, as we're going to see in a minute, the marvel of what you've done for me. So I'm going to have to grow up. Knowing requires, growing requires knowing, and knowing requires growing. I got to know. I can't be stupid about it. I can't sit there, well, yeah, I know the Bible and I think about this. That's stupid. And you don't know the Bible. And you don't believe. You need to believe. You need to look to God and grow, grow. You need to eat the food. Food's no good on the table. It has to be in your tummy. Now, if I can, in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And in verse 27. John 10 and 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There is no other shepherd. There is no other Savior. I've got to follow you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is by him. Will you tell me how you're going to get to God apart from him? If you leave the guide out, how are you going to get there? You don't know the way, as you'll see in a sec. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, John chapter 14. John 14. Picking up, please, in verse 5. Picking up even verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him. For you have seen him. Seeing me is to see the Father. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, we'll be satisfied. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? I and my Father are one. So you're asking, do you guys know that? We did know that. We didn't understand it, not then, but boy, up to then, it was there, and we were trying to get it all together, but we hung in there. We aren't going to be dropouts. Dropouts never make it. Never make it. No, they aren't going to be dropouts. Nothing doing. They can't drop out. There is no one else. Nowhere to go. Unless we finish the course. Unless we find out, we got to stay with you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way we're going to get anywhere apart from you, God. And therefore, John chapter 14, and in verse 20, at that day you shall know, 14 and 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. But not yet. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 5. 16 and 5. Upper room again. He's saying it over and over again to them to help them. Verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? They were so... Why? Because, verse 8, because I have said these things unto you, sorrow have filled your heart. When your heart's all filled with bitterness and sorrow and headache and heartache, would you tell me there's no room? Like filling the glass with water, you can't add anymore. The heart is so full of what you're thinking and feeling, you can't get anything in it. You can't get anything in the thing. So I'm trying to tell you something, said the Lord. Verse 12. I have many things to say unto you, 16 and 12, and you cannot bear them now. I would like to tell you a whole lot of things, but you wouldn't understand them. And unless you hang in there, you'll never understand them. You have to grow up. You have to develop. You have to get how to do multiplication and division before you can do algebra. Algebra before calculus. You have to do the system. You aren't ready yet. Stay with me. Isn't that how you made it, most of you? Didn't you all go to the first grade? First grade. And first grade got you to where? Second grade. Second grade got you to the third grade. Isn't that how you got here, most of you? Some of you may have went first grade in high school after just one shot. I don't know. You lost out if you did. You know, you failed to develop when you do that. Anyway, now, John chapter 16, wonderful God. And in verse 10, let me just keep going. Oh, picking up in thought. Chapter 17, the Gospel of John. What are you going to tell me? This is life eternal. What is life eternal? That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So, God, what is eternal life? It's a unique personal relationship to me. A unique personal relationship to who I am. And in the process, it isn't a philosophy. It isn't a philosophy. Philosophy. We'll accept the philosophy. No, it isn't a philosophy. It isn't a theory. It isn't a theory to which we give allegiance. It isn't a theory, eternal life. No. It's not something that if you just think it through, it'll come. No, it isn't that kind of thing. It's not something that you give you can intellectually arrive at it. You're going to think about it and think about it and think about it. And think about it. That isn't how it works. And lots of people do that. And you'll never get there. Never, never, never get there. It's a relationship. You yield. That's what it means to be saved. I'm going to give looking to another person. And when I do, things start to happen. When I believe, we believe. And we know, we're sure. God, we're sure. We know it's you're the right one for the right reasons. It isn't Allah or Buddhist or a Hindu or anything else. It isn't an idol. It isn't a Buddha or anything. No, it's you. It isn't a philosophy. It isn't a book. It's you, God. You're a wonderful person. To know eternal life is to know you. Eternal life is a wonderful, wonderful knowledge of who you are. So now, having said that, over if you would please, you need to follow through in the classroom. You need to follow through and get there. And if you don't follow through, of course you aren't going to get there. You aren't going to get there. That's why you can know believers. I've been a believer for 25 years. 25 years. 25. Now, tell me what you understand in your life right now about God. Trying to think about it. 25 years? 25 years, you must have grown somewhat. Tell me about God. Well, I don't know. See, we got to grow. We got to grow and develop. So God, you're a wonderful God. I have to understand God to know you. And so now, having said that, and you know, without turning there in Matthew 11 and 29, get the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. There's the little word learn. The little word learn is a lovely word, lovely word. Bring into my experience. Learn of me. Bring into your experience. Experience who I am. Eternal life is knowing me. It's a person. It isn't an intellectual journey. It's a person. No dropouts. No, we aren't dropping out. No way. No, there's one going to have got a problem, but us guys aren't going to, and you have to, we'll look at that. You have to figure out how come Judas got in there, you know. Wow. So now, in the process, get your learning from me. I want your experience. I want you to know the truth. Over, if you would please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 5. Peter, remember, Peter's the one that says that there's nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life. We believe. We are understanding, sure. 1 Peter chapter 5, and picking up in verse 12, if I may. 5 and 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother. This is Peter, 1 Peter 5 and 12. Faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting, what are you writing about, Peter? And testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. I want you to know, in your personal relationship to God, trusting His saving grace, this is it. This is it. You're in the right place, right person, for the right reasons. Yay! Stand there. Stay there. Don't move. No departing. No dropouts. Stay whole. Hold your course. Hold your course. Trying to figure out life and how things work in your life and your heart and your home and your wealth coming and going in the world. Hold your course. You want to get light in the darkness? Stay on course. You want to get right in the wrongness? Stay on course. Stay on course. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Stay in there. Stay in there. Don't be a dropout. They left. They'll never know. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. When he ends. 2 Peter 3. What are you going to say to us, Peter? Second Peter 3. Picking up, please. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. But grow, the last statement Peter makes, 3 and 18. But grow in grace. That's where you're standing. Grow. That means you got to grow. Well, I thought I had it. No, you got to grow. You got it. Grace gives you the freedom to develop. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What are you going to do? Well, what did you do, Peter? You denied Him. You walked away. But boy, you didn't quit. No, I got up off. I repented. I wept bitter tears. And God in His grace got me. I wasn't going anywhere else. I just didn't. I goofed, fooled around. I didn't understand. Wow. Grow in grace and knowledge of who I am. Over, if you would, to First Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Paul, what are you going to say? Now, as we do this, just think of all the benefits if you don't finish school. Now, when are you going to finish? Some of you just graduated. You finished school. And what you did is had commencement. Is that true? Is that what they call it? I'm trying to think. I forgot school. Isn't it commencement a beginning? You graduate to begin something, don't you? Call the commencement service. No? No. You begin. What do you begin? You begin. You begin what? A whole lifetime of being educated and learning of what it's all about. And if you never go to school thereafter, I've hit it. My vocabulary, this is what I do, da-da-da-da-da-da. I feel sorry for you. Because you stop growing. You stop developing. You were given the option to branch out into knowledge. And the wonderment of being alive. Wow. So here, Paul, what are you going to tell me? You're one educated guy, Paul is. One rich, educated guy. He had it, boy. He had political power and monetary power and great influence among the Jews. But he said all of it is dung. Chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now that's no offense. I'm glad you go to school. I'm glad you learn things. God bless you. I hope you become a genius. But if that's all you got nothing. You have nothing. And I hate to have you get so old and you'll discover it too late. You're going to have nothing. No, I want to make sure I have a unique relationship to God the Creator, God the Redeemer, God the Savior, Lord, the Lord God forever, the only God, the only Savior. God, I got to know. But I can't do it without you. No way. No way, shape, or form. So now, Paul said, I'm so determined. I'm on my course, man. I'm going to finish my course. And he does. And in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. In other words, I'm looking, God, I haven't even stopped. And in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Listen, I haven't got there yet. Are you ready to graduate? Never, 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 never. I haven't even started. Neither have I already attained, verse 12, neither were already perfect. But I follow after that I may apprehend to lay hold of that for which I also am laid hold of Christ Jesus. God saved me for a wonderful reason. Therefore, brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. No, are you finished? Are you ready to graduate? No, 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 no. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. God, it's good to know first grade. 1 + 1 is, anyway, too complicated. You got the idea. First grade's wonderful. But boy, first grade becomes nothing when you reach the sixth grade. You would have never reached the sixth grade without the first grade. But when you reach the sixth grade, you don't want to go back to the first grade, do you? What do you want to go back to the first grade for? You've grown. You don't want to go backwards. You want to go forwards. That's right. That's right. Paul, what do you want to? I'm on a journey. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to hang in there. I'm not going to back down, back away. No way. God, I'm to be conformed to the image of Christ. Uh-huh. I am. The whole purpose of the assembly is to what? Cause me to grow and develop. That's what it's for. It isn't a picnic. We aren't here at a little club. You know, a little club, a social club, and we have a little club and everything. This isn't what it's for. If you got saved, you're saved for a wonderful reason. Not to be in a club or a group, you're saved to belong uniquely to God. Apart from everyone you know. Hopefully you know some believers. The Lord God said, you know, I got to read verse 14 in closing. I press to the mark. I am in pursuit. I am bearing down. I am onward and upward. I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling. I'm looking to pursue the prize of the calling to God. God, you're calling me. Here, just think of the line. It isn't this kind of growing this way, like this. Not like this. It's like this. 45 degree angle. You're going to grow. Time, and you keep growing. And you're going to get more and more as time goes on. That's what it's about that. That's right. Where am I headed? To be like my son. To be like my son. That's where you're headed. God, what do you want of me? I want you to be like my son. That's what I want. But, you want me to do some big job, some super task, and I'll save the ISIS from something else. No. No, I want you to grow up, and you can't have it be a dropout. And lots of Christians, disciples, drop out. And they'll never make it. Never in 1,000 years. Not in this life. It'll never happen. Never happen. You can't do it. It's against the rules. Against God. Wow. You got to hang in there. And it'd be like the Lord would say, wouldn't it be if the Lord would look at you and me now and say, I know you are going to be faithful. He said that, you know, to Abraham, didn't he? Abraham is going to be faithful. He's going to have a whole lot of problems, but he's going to be faithful. Can you say that about David? David, I know he's going to be faithful. That's what I do. What do they know about you and me? I know you're going to be faithful. You're going to hang in there. And that's how you're going to grow, and that's how you're going to learn, and that's how life is going to open up, and you're going to see things you never dreamed of. You're going to discover that which is discoverable. God, only you can do it. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And thank you very much. Thank you, Spirit of God. When all is said and done, we always owe you. We owe you thanksgiving. We owe you for your love that just doesn't quit. We owe you for your consistency, your persistence to keep on upon us that we might get there. God, we'd never get there if you didn't do it. If you don't get on our case, God, we aren't going to get there. So God, do a work, do the work, do your work in our heart and life, God. We want to finish the course. We want to graduate. That is, we want to be ready, God. If you were to come today, that we are looking for your soon wonderful appearing. And God, we are ready. We want to be ready and looking. God, that's what we want. Until then, we aren't finished. Our job isn't done. Our trial, our test, our troubles are not going to go away. But God, in the midst of them all, we're going to learn to be consistent and looking to you to outwork all your goodwill. And that, God, we're going to be the beneficiaries of your goodness always, of your grace always, of your mercy always. God, thank you very, very much. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done and who you are. Father, make it all come together. In Christ's name, amen.